Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Welcome back to Business Resolutions with my guest, Bob Leith. Been in the shipping business and been with the Chamber of Commerce and with many other areas in the sporting and in the performing, bringing different spectacles to Puerto Rico. Bob, so you arrive in Puerto Rico. Your father's with the federal government. Tell us about your youth and what, as you think back and as you write in your book, was really important in terms of your experience in these formative years here in Puerto Rico.
Jorge, in my book, I mentioned that I'm a very fortunate individual because not everybody at the age of six arrives in a Latin, South American, Caribbean country like this and has the advantage of getting an excellent education for your first 8 years of schooling. My dad, and Lord rest his soul, he put me in the Colegio de San Agustín de Puerto Tierra, not the one in Perpetuo Socorro, not in Miramar, the one in Puerto Tierra. There was 500 Puerto Rican children, of course, but it wasn't a high-class revenue area. In fact, it was close to the waterfront. A lot of the people in that school, their parents worked on the waterfront. But my dad found a beautiful home, nice wooden home, right close to the U.S. Naval Radio Station at Stop 7. And when you drive through that today, is Casa Cuna, which is Santini, Mayor Santini, got a beautiful home for wayward. In other words, when a lady gives up her son at birth, well, the Casa Cuna moves in and done an excellent job. And of course, I was then able to play and learn how to play tennis with the children of the naval person there at the U.S. Naval Radio Station, you see? So I had the best of both worlds. I was going to school, and the advantage was at that time, from first to fourth grade, everything was in Spanish except one subject a day in English. And the other 4 years, everything was in English with Spanish as a subject. So when in 1937, I graduated from eighth grade in the Colegio San Agustín de Puerto Tierra, the Sisters of Notre Dame and the Redemptorist Fathers, all of us in that school were bilingual. We were bilingual, we spoke, and I, of course, I was fortunate. I spoke damn good Spanish. And let me tell you, the knowledge of being brought up in that atmosphere and learning the language and learning the culture, that there's no money in the world that you can take that and put it into an individual, man or woman. I mean, that is just excellent, excellent. I guess nowadays you'd call it street smarts. But I see a lot of men who grew up with me and the greatest education in the world, but you put them in charge of something, they're not a leader, they have to be led, they don't make decisions in a hurry, and they don't see an opportunity. And every opportunity that I did see in Puerto Rico as I was growing up, and when I come back as a married man, in other words, I imported Christmas trees. I imported melons from Alabama, you know, because we didn't have watermelons here, and the Christmas trees, I started browning from Canada. That's where the Christmas trees come from, you know. And every chance that I saw in life, that's what allowed me to buy the radio rights for the San Juan Senators. And later on, I bought the team. And who was in right field? Roberto Clemente. And today, when I tell people that I own the San Juan Senators and in right field was the greatest baseball player, the greatest human being that ever lived, Roberto Clemente, they're just amazed that they even can speak to me because I had that great opportunity. Yeah.
And based on that experience with your classmates being from all areas and walks of life and all, you were able to feel comfortable dealing with Roberto Clemente, with a person from the working in the wharves, to military people, to business people, and you've been able to move back and forth and through society with great ease.
Today, of course, I started in 1942 as an apprentice in the Coast Guard, which at that time was under the Navy, as an apprentice seaman in the United States Coast Guard. And of course, today, I have a piece of paper that says I'm an honorary admiral in the United States Coast Guard. I tell people that they get to be admiral in 30 years. It took me 60 years. But I got it because of my service to the Coast Guard as a civilian, you know. It's a great organization. I think that they do a wonderful, wonderful job. But, of course, that always goes back to those 8 years of grammar school under that atmosphere of growing up with that. Because let me tell you one thing, Jorge, there was a train that left San Juan at 8 o'clock every night. Went to Arecibo and went to Mayagüez and Ponce. And my dad used to say to me, he said, Robert, he says, when you go out or you're playing around, he says, I want your Fanny in this house at 8 o'clock every night when that whistle blows. He says, not heading home, I want you home. Uh-huh. So when that whistle blows going through, I want to look at your face and see you. Well, I want to tell you that I was in.
He's a strict disciplinarian.
I was at home at 8 o'clock, can you believe me?
Well, a great story, yeah. from San Agustin. You went to study high school in the States, in a private school.
I went to Keith Academy in Lowell, Mass. Run by the Marianist brothers, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then the funny story is you were sort of headed to being a priest. And what was the reaction of your father to that possibility?
My Scottish,
as a good Catholic Irish.
Well, my dad was more Scottish than Irish.
Okay.
So he therefore, when I wrote home from Boston, Lowell, Massachusetts, I told him to pray for my vocation. My dad was going to have a heart attack. So he called my mother, Molly. He said, Molly.
Good Irish name.
Good Irish. Molly. He said, Molly. He says, I'm asking for a transfer tomorrow out of Puerto Rico. We're going back to the States. She said, why? She said, we're happy. She said, no. He says, those brothers up in Massachusetts, they want to make my son a priest. They're brainwashing him. So my dad did move out, and he moved to Rouse's Point, New York. It's a small village on Lake Champlain between New York and Canada. And my second year in high school was public school, first time in a public school, you could say. And as everybody says, I found something in second year of high school that I thought was pretty nice. You know, that was hard. It's called girls.
Because the private school was a boys and all boys school.
Yeah.
The one in Lowell. Yeah,
the Lowell was all boys girl. Yeah.
And we have some common. I went to an all boys school, private school in Andover nearby.
Oh boy, yeah.
And then I lived in Saranac Lake, and Rouse's Point is probably about 20 minutes from
Saranac
Lake, New York. So we have a couple of things in common.
Yeah, when I saw those girls, I said, well, that vocation didn't stay around. My dad was pretty smart. He knew what he was doing.
The move to shipping, you're in Rouse's Point. You moved to get in the shipping industry. How did that come about?
It goes back to my youth, or because at that time, being an immigration officer, every ship that came to Puerto Rico had to go at the anchorage first, and then the first boat out was the public health doctor. The ships would raise their yellow flag, and the public health doctor would go on board. And after he examined their papers and everything, then the yellow flag came down, and then came the boat of the immigration service, and behind was the boat for the customs, and then the boat for the Department of Agriculture.
And your father was immigration.
My dad was
second
immigration,
one.
Yeah. So then he went on board. And when I wasn't in school, or was a Saturday or Sunday, I'd drive down with him, and then he'd take me on board the yacht, the boat. And I stayed on the boat while he went on. Sometimes he'd take me up. And then
you'd talk to the different seamen,
yes,
and the captain and the different people.
And at that time also, Jorge, the Coast Guard came infrequently to Puerto Rico, because the Coast Guard patrolled from Greenland to the north coast of South America. But when they come in here, and they went along, I'd go down, and they always had like a truck on board, and they put the truck ashore, and then they say, hey, kid, he said, get us 10 or 12 or 15 Puerto Rican kids, and let's go play baseball. So I said, sure. So we go and play baseball close to where the Sixto Escobar Park is now. It's called the Canódromo. So we played baseball.
Okay.
And then...
With the Coast Guard...
The Coast Guard had their equipment. They brought the water. They brought the juice. They brought everything. But then we go back and
good new baseballs.
Oh, man. Then they went down. I'll tell you about baseball later on. Then we'd go back and we'd have lunch on board. And if it was a Saturday night, I would have a brown bread, baked beans, and hot dogs, which is what I'd be having in Boston if I were living back there. So I took a liking to the Coast Guard from day number one because, I don't know, just the command I went on board.
We're going to talk about your Coast Guard experience. Let's take a break. I'm with Bob Leith of Puerto Rico Shipping and as you noticed, involved with sports and with a lot of other entrepreneurial activities throughout his career. We'll be right back after this break.